Welcome to Jam Live, the show featuring concerts and events presented by Junction Arts and Music Society in Haines Junction, Yukon. I am Maria Leniak. The Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Festival, going strong since 2003, has brought some of the finest artists of bluegrass music to the Yukon. Names like the Abrams Brothers, John Reichman and the Jaybirds, and the Gibson Brothers. Jam Live was there again in 2016 to record more outstanding performances. But wait, there's more! Jam Live also gets backstage for rewarding interviews with the artists. As in most musical genres, bluegrass is colored by the musicians' personal and professional lives, so we invite you to come along with us as we explore some of this behind-the-scenes background. And who better than Steve Gedrose, past producer of the Bluegrass Festival, to chat to the five members of Breaking Grass from Mississippi. They are Cody Farrar on guitar, Tyler White on fiddle, Jody Elmore on banjo, Zach Wooten on mandolin, and Britt Sheffield on bass. We join Steve chatting with the band in the quiet calm of the library at the St. Elias Community School in Haines Junction on June 11th, 2016.
Hi, my name is Steve Gedrose, and we're coming at you from the Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Festival here in downtown Haines Junction, Yukon. I'm here with the members of Breaking Grass. Welcome, guys, and thanks for taking the time to speak to me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay, why don't you introduce yourselves? We'll just go around the table and tell us your role in the band.
Sure. My name's Cody Fair. I'm the majority of the time lead singer. I also play acoustic guitar for the group.
And I am Tyler White. I don't sing at all, but I'm the fiddle player for the group.
Okay.
I'm Britt Sheffield. I play bass and sing harmony mostly and a little lead.
Okay.
My name is Zach Wooten, and I'm the mandolin player for the band, and I do a little bit of harmony and lead vocals.
Great.
I'm Jody Elmore. I handle the banjo. I'm the newest member, so.
Okay.
Only been on board a couple months.
Okay. I always start off by asking about band names because I know it's really an important thing, and I'm just wondering how Breaking Grass came to be. Can somebody talk to me about that?
Well, we really don't know, but no. Actually, we just kind of thought of something when we were starting the band. I know just something to kind of break the boundaries of bluegrass because we don't all come from a bluegrass background or, you know, we don't all have the same influence in our music, so we wanted something to kind of break the boundaries out of bluegrass, but still have that bluegrass element within it.
Right, so. Right. Well, it's funny, because when I did a search, I kept coming up with Breaking Glass, which is a David Bowie music, so I just thought, boy, what a difference one letter makes, you know?
Yeah, that's right, that's true.
Well, let's begin with how the band was formed. How did you guys come together playing?
We've been together close to 8 years now. We all knew each other from the, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of the music
scene.
Scene.
Okay.
Local music scene.
Yeah.
And wanted to do something for our community, make music for our community, and really didn't have any plans of going further than that. But we got together and got a good reaction and, like I said, that was 8 years ago. We've been going ever since.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So I really know nothing about the geography of Mississippi, so you guys can tell me, do you all live close together or in the same kind of area? I noticed a bunch of different towns. I just don't know how far apart they are.
We're relatively close as far as that goes. I'm about probably 15 minutes from Cody. I'm probably 30 minutes to 45 from Zach. I'm about an hour and a half from Britt now, which he used to live right around in our area too. Okay. And Jody is about, what, 2 hours?
Yeah, about 2.5 hours. I'm from Alabama. So.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. He's a little farther, but, and I know you said the geography, just a little fun fact for that. In Zach's town is actually, or Zach's county, which is Tishomingo,
okay,
is actually the highest point in Mississippi, which is 785 feet.
So what do you think of the mountains around here?
It's a glorified hill, really.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. Of course, you know, I know Mississippi for Delta Blues and all this kind of music. Right. Are there a lot of bluegrass bands in Mississippi?
There's a few, but they're not. You're not really. Mississippi's not known for their bluegrass, of course, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
So if in Mississippi, you really have to travel outside the region if you want to play anything bluegrass.
Right, right. Which works, then you guys can all get together and go on a road trip someplace. Huh?
Okay.
Now, let's see, what else? I noticed on your website you play a number of private events. Are these corporate gigs, or are they just people that are interested in bluegrass and want to have a private thing, or how does that work?
A lot of it, we've had the opportunity to play a lot of weddings.
Okay.
Surprisingly, the past few years, we get a lot of requests for bluegrass music at weddings.
Wow.
Surprising to us, but we enjoy it. And,
well, it's a pretty joyous time.
It
is.
It really is.
But we'll do some Christmas shows for some companies, too.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay, where it's just kind of like members of that company come. Yeah, and that's the audience. I see. Okay, that's fun. Great. Well, I know in past festivals, and this is a bit of an exception this year, there's really not a lot of women involved in bluegrass. Do you guys have any opinions about that, or is that the case?
My wife actually plays upright bass.
Okay.
So she's
in a band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. Me and her used to be in a couple bands with some other guys from Mississippi.
I see.
So okay. there's a lot of ladies in bluegrass.
And, okay. Has that changed in your time that you've been playing, or
it's kind of always been? Some of them have been there.
Yeah.
It's not as many, you know, ladies as it is guys.
Right.
But there is a few out there, and they've been around a long time.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Great. Let me see what else we got here. I've really been enjoying Just as Strong, your CD from 2014.
Thank you.
And that looks like it's your third recording. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. And I just love that track, Shine. Who can tell me how that song came to be? It's just such a different feel to it than a lot of the other music.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a lot different. I know, at least for my opinion on it, when Cody kind of came to us with the idea, he first came to us with the idea, and he had just a small melody, and he was like, you know, here, he was just kind of humming it, what this is what we should think it should sound like, you know. And I was trying to play that on fiddle. I was like, well, I want something mellow, so I used the fifth string on my fiddle, and then the other guys kind of joined in and helped write some words on the back porch of a cabin, actually, in Georgia one night. We were sitting on the river. It was dark out, and that's where that song kind of came to be. And then Cody finished it up, and it's where it is now. Some of the other guys might have a little opinion on it, I know.
Yeah.
Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So it sounds like a real organic process. You just had this little germ, and everybody kind of helped contribute parts. And,
sure.
Oh, that's really cool. I love it when it works like that. Now, do you guys tour your songs before you go into the studio, or what's that process?
Do you
play them live, before you record, or do you record first and then tour that work? Or
we like to try them out for our audiences, see how it feels, you know, how their reaction is, and then go from there.
And so does everybody bring music to the band? Is that how it goes? Or
the principal songwriter is Cody.
Right, right. And so there's a similar process to Shine, or do you come with fully formed songs and everybody just figures out their part, or
most of the time I've got an idea and I'll show it to the guys to see if they like it or not.
Okay.
And from there it's really a group effort.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that other people I've talked to, they say that they've come with an idea, but the band brings so much more to it. It's
exactly.
It's a totally different song in the end. Has that kind of been your experience?
Yes. A lot of times I've come to them with a song and by the end, it'll be completely different than what I had in mind, and it's usually for the better.
Hopefully better.
Yeah,
good. That's perfect. Yeah, that's great. Now, I see that you're working with Mountain Fever Records now. I have a lot of respect for that outfit. Have they been good to work with?
They have. Yes. Mark Hodges, he's great.
He's been great. He's a cut-up, and that's the good thing about it. We get to record with him, and we also get to have a friend, you know.
It's kind of like family.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. That's great. Yeah. Well, we've had Junior Sisk here. We've had Alan Bybee, of course, Spinney Brothers, a lot of your label mates. And I see this year we have Goldheart and Nothing Fancy are all on the same label. So they must be doing something right to get the great stable of bands like that.
Right. Yeah.
And so you record at their facility. Is that how it goes?
The last album we did record at their facility, and we're in negotiation right now where we're going to record the next one.
Okay.
It will be with Mountain Fever Records.
Okay.
We're just unsure of the location.
I see. Yes. And do they suggest a producer, or do you guys bring somebody?
Yes. How Aaron Ramsey is their house producer.
Yes.
Okay. So, and you worked with them on the last record?
Yes.
I see. So that was a good...
Very good.
You guys are happy on this.
He's a great... That's what Aaron can pick up any instrument, and, you know, that's the good thing about him is if he has an idea, it's not, you know, just an idea he can kind of hum to you or give to you. He can actually pick up the instrument and play it.
No kidding.
He can just pick up
anything. Try this feel or this
he's,
pick and pattern or whatever it is. He's
literally any instrument that we play, he picked it up and showed us what would sound better.
And was he right?
He was right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's really cool. Yes. That's great. Well, no wonder you like working with that. That's fantastic. You don't often get that kind of support.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So how important is selling CDs to your bottom line? Is that a big part of the business? I know that a lot of bands anymore just sell records from the stage, but that's about it. Is that kind of how it works for you guys?
I would say it's extremely important, selling CDs.
Having a label is helpful to get it out there, though, right?
It does.
Promote it.
It does.
Promote gigs for you and stuff.
They help us a lot.
That and the radio stations, of course, to get that out there for us. And I know as far as that goes, some of our CDs, our live set is completely different than our CDs sometimes. And like the songs you're hearing now, after we make our next CD, you may not hear those much in the live set, and that'll be the only place. There's some songs that we've only played two or three times in a live set that are actually on our CDs.
Okay.
So
that's just the nature of the song? It doesn't fit in the set, or?
Just whatever we think, you know, feels right at the time for the set.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We talked about this a little bit, Cody, but does everybody help with the arrangements? Is that typically how it goes? I mean, you bring a song, but everybody says, how about we try this? Or do you just kind of play it and get a feel for it? Or
everybody,
tell me about that process.
Yeah, everybody brings something to the table. It's not one-sided at all. It's always a group thing. And
I think
like
that bodes well for the life of the band, don't you guys?
He'll bring a song to the table. He'll play it and sing it, and we'll say, well, all right, yeah, that sounds good. Let's try it like this.
Okay.
Or what if we add this or take this away?
And okay.
Sometimes it don't work, sometimes it does.
Yeah, okay. But in the end, you end up with something you're all happy with.
Yeah, that's
sure. That's the beauty of it, right? Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Maybe you can talk about, I know that I've read in your bios that you've had music in your families, most of you guys, so maybe we can go around the table and everybody can tell me about their influences that they, you know, music they've listened to in the past and have influenced their playing.
Sure. I grew up with a lot of, I can't remember what they called it, but church hymns.
Okay.
My parents loved
gospel
going
music.
To gospel singing
okay.
and things like that.
Yeah.
My mother was a big Elvis fan.
Okay.
And, of course, going through high school, I listened to rock.
Sure.
And I was kind of a late bloomer to bluegrass, but once I heard it, it kind of took a hold, and I've been with that ever since.
Okay.
So I've got a good foundation of all different kinds of music.
Great, great. Which influences your writing, I'm sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's go around the table.
I know I don't have any music in my family as far as that goes. I'm the only, really only musician in our family. I mean, we have a couple people way on back, you know, that play, but I'm the only person, especially fiddle, that plays. But my influence really comes from, I mean, I listen to a lot of music. I listen to anything from, I mean, I may be listening to a rock CD, maybe listening to a bluegrass CD. I may be listening to a country radio station, a mainstream country, an older country. I may be listening to even rap music. I mean, it's just, I'm very kind of diverse in that. Even though I'm kind of set in my ways a little bit on bluegrass sometimes, I do listen to a lot of other music.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Okay, oh, that's great. Let's keep going here.
Ever since I was a child, I remember my mom playing piano.
Okay.
And so when I was in second grade, I started piano lessons, and sure. then I started guitar lessons in middle school, and I was in band in high school, and I always listened to rock. And then when I got to college, I started playing country, and then that's when I met Cody, and he said, "Hey, we need a banjo player. You think you can try to play?" So I was like, "Yeah." So I bought a banjo, and he's like, "All right, well, we need a bass player now. You want to try that?"
So that so you did.
That didn't work for me. So yeah,
no? Okay. I've
been the bass player now for about 8 years, and
yeah, okay.
So, influence. I listen to everything. I still listen to rock and country and bluegrass and anything.
Okay. How about you, Zach?
Well, my story is actually kind of similar to Britt's. Okay. I grew up listening to gospel music. And sure. church and everything, and my mother played piano, and when I was about 8 I started taking piano lessons, and
okay.
on into middle school I took some guitar lessons, and my guitar teacher started like a little kids band, and he played bluegrass.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I got tied into the bluegrass scene some, and just somehow along the way picked up the mandolin, and I guess I was about 12 or 13 at the time.
Okay.
And just kind of fell in love with it, and here I am.
Yeah, here you are. Okay.
Similar story. My mom played organ and piano in church, okay. So I grew up around that. But as far as like musical tastes, I guess my dad kind of influenced me. He brought home like a compilation tape,
right?
Flat and Scruggs, Stanley Brothers, all those, you know, first generation musicians, and just basically made me listen to it.
Okay.
And didn't like it at first, and
you were fighting it.
I want my George Strait and Garth Brooks
okay,
back, you know,
okay,
stuff like that.
Okay.
And I got to listen to it and kept listening to it and just really fell in love with that sound and kind of focused on the banjo. And started playing banjo when I was 13. Okay. And actually, my FFA ag teacher in school was my banjo teacher.
I see, okay.
So I played banjo and electric bass in a rock band
right
through high school. And then got out and started playing, you know, gospel music, more bluegrass, some country.
Okay. So it sounds like you guys listen to other instruments than you play, right? Is that,
yes.
is
oh,
that
yeah, definitely.
Fair to say?
Yes. Definitely,
yes.
And does that help you just think of different things to do on your own instrument? Is that kind of the idea? Or
mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
So when you're on the road, is there a fight about who gets to play what in the van, or how does that all work?
We fight about everything.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Of course,
I'm just
that's
kidding.
A family, right?
I'm just kidding.
I got brothers. I kind of know how that goes.
Yeah. Now, usually whoever's in the front seat, they'll plug their iPhone into the CD player and just play whatever. There's
okay.
no fight.
Yep. Okay.
We all like everything.
You sing along?
Sure.
Okay.
Do. And then if they get it too loud and we don't like it, we're just like, turn that stuff off.
Okay. Okay.
And then somebody usually ends up turning it back on and turning it up loud.
Just to spite them?
Just to spite them.
Okay. That's fun. I love that. Okay. I listened to some of your music on Spotify, and a lot of bands have a kind of a love-hate relationship with streaming sites. I'm just curious what you guys feel about this. Well, it's the new trend. It's really what's happening these days.
It
so
is.
I know you don't make money from that, so what do you feel about that? What's your take on that, streaming sites?
I mean,
it really puts your music out there.
Yeah.
People that normally wouldn't listen to you or would be able to get a hold of your music has access to it. That's the pro.
Really on a worldwide basis. Right.
Correct. So I mean, sometimes, like, if I know if I hear a song on, you know, Pandora or Spotify or whatever, and I like their music, I'm going to go search and try to find more of their music. And sometimes mm-hmm. I'll end up purchasing anyway. So
okay.
I think it kind of opens up another gateway to kind of
okay.
expose yourself.
I've had people route. Describe it as kind of like a business card online that,
basically,
you know.
Really?
I mean, so I guess that's, you can't really avoid that, right? You have to put your music up on there.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know like the pay is little to none at all, but for that, but you get so much like actual exposure that it's kind of worth it, because I mean, people that are listening, you know, they might see, hey, you know, this is recommended by, you know, one of your friends or something like that.
Right.
And then it just keeps on, the chain keeps on going, and somebody will end up listening to you that
mm-hmm.
is, you know, from, say, Canada and
sure.
never has even heard our music before at all. And, you know, then they end up buying the album and it benefits us. And that's, I mean.
And then they might come to the shows and all the rest.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, that's cool. I know that sometimes they say, if you like this band,
mm-hmm.
maybe you'll like try this ABC. So that must bring people along to the fold, right? It's a tough thing. The music business has changed so much in the last 10 years, even that I don't know how you guys do it. Frankly, it used to be so straightforward. People had a record deal, and the record label promoted them, and all that stuff. It's really not happening in the same way, is it?
I think really now, at least I know for us, is social media is the big thing. Even the record labels are using it. I mean, that's what they're using to get people out there. I mean, they're using Facebook ads, they're using Spotify, they're using all of the blog websites, such as Bluegrass Blog, things like that. You know, they're putting up ads, and that's how they're getting people out there. Instead of, you know, getting it in the right hands, they're just making a mass effort to get it in everybody's hands.
Right, so. Right. There's some value to that, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard a lot of hurting songs, but I really had to laugh when I heard "I'm Not Crying Because You're Leaving." It's because you're standing on my toe. Tell me how that came to be.
Oh man, when I first had the idea for that song, I showed the guys, and I think the
wasn't it as a joke?
Yeah, it was kind of as a joke.
Sure,
and the guys were like, "That's terrible."
then to a man, everybody.
Right, it was okay. We kind of had back and forth on whether or not we should record it or not because it was so bad. And it ended up we put it on the album, and I think that was one of the first songs that they actually played on SiriusXM.
See, there you yes. go. Isn't that interesting?
It was good and bad because we were getting on the radio and we were on SiriusXM like we'd always dreamed of
course,
but at the same time it was because it was stupid
goofiest song.
That was like one of the three on the cut list, right, you know. It was like right. iffy if it was right. gonna get cut or not.
Oh, so. That cracks me up. It reminds me of that song, "How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away." Maybe you guys can talk a little bit about the popularity of bluegrass. I mean, obviously, you're in that world, and it is seemed to be gaining popularity with young people in this digital high-tech age. What do you put that down to?
Well, I know as far as I go, I think it's kind of gaining a little popularity as far as I know a lot of people are going towards an Americana folk and bluegrass movement.
Yes.
Right now, I know even like the college I'm at, the most of the bands, you know, 5 years ago were your mainstream country acts, whereas now they're bringing in Americana bands where it's more of feel-good music instead of stuff that's, you know, about somebody's truck and fields and bonfires and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just a... I don't know, it's gaining popularity through that because it's getting exposed more in the TV shows in the States, like America's Got Talent and American Idol. The influences, everybody's like, oh, this guy's got a bluegrass influence, you know. Mm-hmm. Then they'll go back to their roots and we kind of claim them,
okay.
So to speak.
Sure, then, of course. Yeah,
if
right.
we see somebody, you know, gaining a lot of popularity, such as the band Mountain Faith, you
yes,
know, when,
right.
when that happens and they blow up really big, you know, about, say, a TV show like America's Got Talent, it... We're like, hey, that's a bluegrass player, you know, and then people start looking into it. Hey, this stuff is not that bad, you know.
But not only that, it's just kind of refreshing, kind of, because the music's so raw and real. It just kind of, I don't know, that's what attracts me to it so much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Stories in it.
There's not a lot of sincerity in some mainstream music that we
right.
get.
Exactly.
That's
sure
my
is.
Feeling.
Yes.
That it's kind of really commercial, and that's the whole object to make money rather than do something that's meaningful to you.
Right.
Right.
And another example of that is Chris Stapleton. That was with the Steel Drivers, you know.
Okay.
His popularity was like, you know, nobody knows this guy. And he went to one of the award shows and won like every country, mainstream country award there was.
Okay.
And they're like, who is this guy? Nobody knows him, but he's awesome. And then everybody was latching on to him, you know, saying, we claim him. He's bluegrass.
Okay. You know, okay. So. Yeah, that's interesting. So you see a good future for bluegrass then?
Yes.
Great.
I hope so anyway.
Yeah, well, right. But, okay, so we talked a little bit about listening to different music. So give me an example of a typical playlist. Is there a typical playlist when you're on the road?
We've talked about this for a couple of years. We just need to sit down. We need to have one set list and everywhere we go.
Okay.
We haven't done that yet.
Okay.
We fly by the seat of our pants and right. we make it up about 30 minutes before the show.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah. And sometimes. More and more you have more material to draw from.
Sure. So. Right.
Okay. Because we want it to be what we hope the crowd will like.
Well, that's
and every crowd's different.
Tricky so. Thing, isn't it?
It
yeah,
is.
I guess you have to play a couple songs to kind of get a feel for that.
I guess also how we're feeling that day. You know?
Of course.
Because
yes.
we all throw songs. Hey, throw this one on there. I want to do this one. You know, so we all kind of throw those songs out there as we feel them. So.
Right. Yeah.
I think that keeps the energy going. It kind of, for us, it keeps us on our toes because we don't do the same thing every day.
Great.
For me, anyway.
Sometimes we don't. Do the same thing that we think we're going to do
that's
next.
True.
Right. Oh, so,
that's true.
Okay.
Somebody
true.
May kick off a song and nobody knows what it is. And then we'll figure out about how
come
to
on.
Do
is that
it.
Serious?
Definitely
yeah.
keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
That happened last weekend.
Yeah. Is that right?
We played a wedding actually last weekend
okay.
and we were waiting on it was something to do with somebody who was supposed to walk in.
They were waiting yeah. on the bride and groom.
And we was having to just. Kill some time,
right.
so Cody just starts playing something. So we probably played probably 5 or 6 minutes of
no, something we've
had
never
no
played
idea.
Before. Just messing around.
Instrumental? You mean?
Instrumental.
Okay,
yes.
I see. Is that going to stick? Is that something you may play again?
You never know.
We don't even remember what it was. No.
Okay. I see. So that could be gone forever.
That could be.
Okay. That's pretty great. Now, what do you guys got coming up this summer? What other gigs are on the horizon?
Oh, we're getting to play at a lot of different places that we've never got to play before. I think we're going to, is it Minnesota?
Michigan.
Oh, nice.
And
Maryland. Michigan.
Whereabouts in Maryland?
Kentucky.
That's
the MAC.
Michigan is.
Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Gosh, that is in Milan.
Okay.
Milan, Michigan.
Okay. I'm not sure where that is.
It's a Milan Bluegrass Festival. I'm not quite sure either.
Okay.
But I know that's the festival.
So a lot of these are kind of festival.
They
it's
are.
A festival circuit, okay. But you're kind of branching out. You're getting further afield, it sounds like.
Sure.
That's really
yes.
great. That's really great.
Haines Junction?
That's
right.
Yeah,
UConn.
Well, that's pretty special
far.
To us.
So far, it's the highlight of my summer.
Is that right?
I've been waiting on this tree up here for several months.
I mean, yeah.
great.
Wake up and look out the window, and there's snow-covered mountains. I can't believe it. I was up at, 1:30 last night, just walking around, looking at the mountains still, and they're just, bright as day. So.
Yeah, and a beautiful moon at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty special, isn't it?
We can't thank y'all enough for sharing.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I didn't get to see you guys last night, but I will tonight, so I really look forward to that. I know that I saw one gig on the Outer Banks, and that's just an area that really fascinates me. Have you guys been before?
Yeah,
never.
That
never.
Sounds like a really beautiful area. Gosh, that was really special.
Yeah,
not quite as good as Haines Junction, maybe.
I don't think anything's as good as Haines Junction.
You got that, Dieter? Or I got that? We're going to hold you to that.
That's right.
I know it's hard to get here, but once you do, I hope it's worthwhile for you.
Oh, completely.
Even the trip up was...
Oh, yeah.
It was
yeah,
beautiful.
The flight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a lot of nothing, isn't there?
It is. A
lot of mountains.
A lot of mountains.
Yeah, I love that, too. I'm glad you had a nice, clear flight so you could see some of that stuff. Because it's kind of like coming in a time machine. If you drive, you really get it. Mm-hmm. But to fly, a couple hours and you're here and whatever. But if you can see the country, that's really special.
Yeah. And there's a...
Well, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you guys, and perhaps we can talk a little bit about your live show, what an audience can expect from Breaking Grass.
You never know.
Hopefully something they'll enjoy.
Yeah.
We like to do, I would say, mainly originals, mainly songs that we've written and arranged.
Okay.
We also do some cover songs.
Okay.
But it's not going to be your typical covers that you hear.
Yeah, it may not be a bluegrass song.
Right.
So.
Right.
We really just enjoy making our own music that nobody's done before. Something gratifying about that to me.
Of course. That fits with the name of Breaking Grass.
Sure.
To me,
yeah. Right.
That's great.
And we did that with the people that come to the festivals, had those people in mind, because if you come to a bluegrass festival and you're there all day long...
You could hear the same song three or four times.
Right. You could. Yeah. You could. Same guitar runs and
exactly.
all that.
Right.
That is a fact. Yeah.
So we wanted to change it up for those people.
Great. Yeah. Great.
I know to get the younger generation involved, from my aspect of it. When I was younger, Yeah, I went to bluegrass festivals, but, you know, I still have the people at school. They're listening to these other things, and they're listening to rock and country and pop and all this. And I was like, well, you know, if we was to incorporate some of that, and all the other guys were, I mean, they were the same way. They were like, if we incorporate some of that stuff, you know, we might get some of that younger generation in. And even though they may not be at a bluegrass festival to hear bluegrass, they may be there just because, you know, somebody brought them or somebody dragged them along, so to speak. But if they're there, you know, we might get them hooked on it. So
yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. We've had a band, I forget who it was, saying that they some of their audience members had a drug problem. They didn't want to go, but they got drugged to the gig.
Oh, yeah.
But then they really enjoyed it, so that all worked out for everybody involved. That's just a different take on that phrase, I think. Well, I really look forward to seeing you guys play. It sounds like you have a lot of fun with what you do, and most people are not in jobs they enjoy that much. So sure. Good on you, and I wish you much success in the future, and thanks so much for speaking to me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate
Bader,
it.
Thank you, too.
You've been listening to a conversation between Steve Gedrose and the five members of Breaking Grass from Mississippi. Now we invite you to listen to their music, which you will find in Jam Live, episode 55, on our website, junctionjam.ca. Just click the Jam Live link. There you will also find more music and interviews from the 2016 Kluane Mountain Bluegrass Festival. A heap of thanks to the Yukon Bluegrass Music Society for all their support, and to Steve Gedrose for preparing and conducting the interview. This show was happily brought to you by Junction Arts and Music, written and produced by Dieter Gade, and I am Maria Leniak. Thanks very much.